The brightness of yoga is brought out, like in very simple words, like we can say. So the yoga's greatness, yoga mahima sort. So deeptihi is very, the word deeptihi means like just brightness or luster. So yoga is a very beautiful shastra, except like if we interpret it from a Vedantic perspective. So when we interpret it from a Vedantic perspective, then we can find out as to the intricacies in yoga, as well as how it will be useful for us as well in the Vedantic path. So Sadashiva Brahmendra, considered to be a very great Advaitin. There are many, many stories about him. So Sadashiva Brahmendra, there are many stories, it's not just a few. So once he was into a, he was a person who was established in Brahman. So that means there are Mahatmas who are beyond even worldly perception or worldly action. So for such Mahatmas, even worldly actions don't have any meaning. So they are sort of avadutas. So, but avadutas behave weirdly. But Sadashiva Brahmendra was always contemplating that Brahman alone exists. So Sarvam Brahmayam Devi Sarvam Brahmamayam. So there are many songs of his, many beautiful simple songs. So he was he would always say Sarvam Brahmamayam, I'm going. So he was like going, he was walking, and like he went through a there were different versions of the story, but he went through a Muslim place. So some people say like it's a Muslim place, Muslim some ceremonies were happening. He went through that saying the same thing. So they got angry. So one person came behind him and he cut his hand. And still like Sadashiva Brahmendra was still walking. Seeing this person got scared. So he took the hand, and then like he apologized, like stopped him and said apologize. So then like Sadashiva Brahmendra asked, what happened? And he said, like, your hand. And he took it back, put it back. So it got stitched back, or it's like automatically. So that is yoga. It's the yoga state. So it's not about like whether the hand got hand became the same, because there are ways in which people today, through operation and many other means, like we can, like even if we cut our thumb, we can like stitch it back. So there are ways for that. So stitches will be there, but still there are ways for it. But what matters is that he wasn't unaffected by that activity. Whatever happened, cutting up his hand also, like he was not even aware of it. He wasn't even aware unless an ex person said. So that was the state, the highest state of moksha or jnana, we can see. So that state is like a state of yoga. The state of yoga, yoga means the kind of, the way Patanjali defines yoga is yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Or yoga is removing the thoughts of the mind. So when we remove thoughts of the mind, so then like the mind remains very calm. So tada drashtu suryupi avasthanam. So then the mind becomes like, mind resides in its own suryupa. So suryupa means mind, suryupa is atman. So the person, like the person who has the mind, who thinks through the mind, that person, which means ahankara, it subdues. Which means that we will abide in our natural state. So the natural state is what we see in Sadashiva Brahmendra. That's a natural state. But that doesn't mean that we should not get affected when the body, when somebody cuts our hand. So that doesn't mean that like when we walk around, like somebody comes and hits us and we say, oh, it is fine. So Gandhian rules and all, like Gandhiji's ahimsa and all, are totally against dharma or shastra. So, of course, he is called Gandhiji, he is called Mahatma, all those are there. But just when somebody comes and hits us, like just showing the next face, if Krishna had done the same thing, then we wouldn't be even born. Because all the Kauravas will be rolling and everything will be total adharma. So, there is like everything has a place, everything has a time. So, Krishna himself talks about ahimsa, ahimsa, satya, makrodha, tyaga, shanti, rapaishina. In the 16th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, ahimsa is a good quality, himsana, not troubling others. But not troubling others means they don't trouble us. Not troubling others means they don't trouble us. If somebody comes and troubles us, then it is not natural dharma. Oh, it is Krishna, we cannot take Krishna's example, because Krishna was a kshatriya. Kshatriya's dharma is he should fight. So Krishna was a kshatriya, so we cannot take his example. So what about Vasishtha? Vasishtha fought with Vishwamitra and arguments with Vishwamitra. What about Vishwamitra himself? He became a rishi and still like he is divine. Rama, oh Rama is also a kshatriya. So then Vamana, what did Vamana do? Vamana killed Mahabali. Oh, he sent him to some big place that is that out of the point. Vamana fought like it. Literally Vamana fought with Mahabali. So is that valid? So because everywhere like we have to look at the dharma and all are based on situation. So ahimsa, ahimsa and all. Patanjali himself talks about ahimsa. But we have to remember that all those are like valid in certain cases. We have to apply other rules, other factors and then do it. Other factors have to be applied. So if Amma just thought that, oh, ahimsa, we should not hurt anybody. And like the person who came here, like he is not given to the police, what would have happened? You can't just remain like that. Somebody goes and like hits Amma. Can't just remain, like forget Amma, like anybody that is the case. So Gandhian rules or ahimsa rules is not like ideal. So it is the same as what we find is Harishchandra, Satya Harishchandra. He lost everything. Of course, Satya, like if you stick on to Satya, at some point of time you will get like, the benefit. But at what cost? And whether it will be in this birth? So that is something that we have to analyze. It's not criticizing anybody. Gandhiji was a great person. Ahimsa and all are like very good qualities, that values of our tradition. Our parampara itself. So our tradition, our parampara, it's a value. But it doesn't mean that like when somebody comes to hurt us, then our dharma changes. Dharma changes from person to person based on time. So when like at a particular time, like if somebody comes and hurts us, then like it is our dharma to act back or react. So in simple words, a kshatriya should fight if somebody is attacking his own kingdom or his people. So we have this body which is a kshetra. If somebody comes and attacks us, it is attacking like that which we protect or that which we have to take care of. So then we have to fight back. So like that is a different thing, but Patanjali himself says, but yoga is in a way that like it doesn't depend on these external conditions. It's not about external conditions per se. So externally, somebody can hit us, somebody can not hit us, we may react back, we may not react back. So that should remain that didn't do anything. There are other people like who have listened to Ashrama, burnt an entire village. So he was in Adwaiti. He burnt an entire village when he was passing through that village and he asked for bhiksha and nobody gave bhiksha. So we should not, Ayutachin in Harinamakirtanam, he beautifully puts Vishnu's life history or life stories, with his avatara stories, he says that how controversial or how contrary can we kind of understand? So can we in a way understand? So when Rama went to cross Lanka, so the Samudra Devata, of course Samudra and all are Devata, so you have to pray them, worship them and they have to give permission for you to build a bridge. So Rama goes there and he sits for like few days. Himself, Samudra Devata doesn't come. Immediately Rama takes up his bow and arrow and about to attack, and then Samudra Devata comes. So this same old Rama, when he became Krishna, he ran away from Jarasandha so many times. I think like 15, 16 times or whatever. Like he ran away from Jarasandha. The same person. Like is it kind of logical? Is it, can we understand? So that is, the point is that it is not our duty or like our way to understand the contrary nature in the world. So that is how the world works. That is how the world works. There will be contrary things. There will be like a person can attain moksha immediately by uttering Narayana, Narayana Nama at the end of his life, when he was not calling even Narayana, but he was calling his own son, the case of Ajahnila. But there are people like who keep calling Ishvara and nothing happens. So how like there are different, that is the way of the world. So this, in this world, we cannot find suitable logic. So what we can do, so there are so many factors with that affect external things. What we can do? So moksha, if we want moksha, what we can do is internally we can remain with samatvam or yoga. In the mind, we can abide as our own self. That is what Patanjali says, that if we abide as our own self, then we will find that the external situations, external conditions doesn't affect us. So Krishna did so much adharma. If we start counting the list of adharma that Krishna did, we'll have to like put him not even in Naraka, like we have to find somewhere below that. So that much adharma, that much bad things. Rama did everything by the book. Krishna did everything opposite of what is in the book. Or by the book means rules. Whatever rules are there, the Shastras are there, Niti Shastra. So what is important is both of them were in their Swarupa, Swarupi Avasthana. So they were in their Swarupa, therefore they were able to ever remain blissful, ever remain happy. So the yoga means peaceful state of the mind. So this peaceful state of the mind, Patanjali says that this peaceful state of the mind is broken by thoughts. So obviously the mind becomes affected when thoughts are there. So by Vedanta just modifies it a little bit. So even if thoughts come into our mind, if our mind gets to a state, then what will happen is thoughts come and thoughts go, but the mind's peaceful state will still be there. So it is like we are inside a room, so we are doing dhyana. So initially when we do dhyana, if somebody comes into the room, or like let's say like we are doing in on the terrace and people pass. When people pass by, it will be affecting us. It will be affecting us. Patanjali says, okay, just remove all of them completely. Stay in a, the same thing Krishna says also in the 6th chapter. So like you have to find like ekantasthalam. You have to find the ekantasthalam. You have to go to the, you have to be without like any attachment with people or association with people. Then like you have to close your eyes and all those Krishna says in the 8th chapter also he says. So but initially we have to do all those, but then if people come and go, it doesn't affect us. It won't affect us. Once we get used to dhyana, then like we are sitting in a room and doing dhyana, people will be talking in the same room. People will be coming into the room, people will be going out of the room. It doesn't affect. So thoughts can come. Thoughts can come, thoughts will come, thoughts will go. But the mind's peaceful state is ever there. So that is where Vedanta says that it is like smarana. Ramana Maharshi used to say that when a person is singing a song, there is the Shruti. So even now, like now they put Shruti in our bhajans, so Shruti goes on. So Shruti means Sapasa or Sahajasa. Sa goes on. The people are singing like different swaras, it goes high, it goes low, but the Shruti is still there. It is the same throughout the song. So in that way, like, we'll be able to maintain that balance of the mind. Thinking about that one Brahman, that Brahman alone exists, that will be there while thoughts come, while thoughts go. So that is the state of yoga. So that is the state of yoga where we abide as our own self and we are unaffected by thoughts. So which means that like which is the opposite of yoga is when we get affected by the thoughts. So when we get affected by the thoughts, what happens? Patanjali says vritti sarupyam. We become identified or associated with them. So when we see objects in the world, we think like they are mine. We get attached to them. When we get attached to them, we move away from our Swarupa. And that attachment itself, what happens? Objects will change, objects will vanish. So we will also get affected by it. But when we are able to remain as our own like self, it is a Sakshi, which is just there. Everything actions, everything continues. But we are just the Sakshi, unaffected. Then that is the state of yoga. Sorry, too much explanation till now. So this is like very simple kind of shloka. I think like 22 shlokas are there. So this is the same thing. If you want, like I think we can sing like Upadesha Saram. So if you can repeat, you can repeat. Else it's fine. Yoga Shastra Sa, Yoga Shastra Sa, Rasya Bodhanam, Rasya Bodhanam. Kurvate kripa, kurvate kripa, vikshanatuhi, manasantucho, ramkadapina, jayate chatat, bandhanam sukham, Vandanam Sukham Vrittirupata Kleshakaraka Kleshakaraka ధ్యానబంధిత చైత్యవారిత చైత్యవారిత. సో ఇన్ దిస్ ఇన్ వృత్తం లైక్ యూ కెన్ కంటిన్యూ లైక్ లైక్ డూ వి సే వేదశాస్త్ర సార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వేదశాస్త్ర సారస్య సంగ్రహ ఆర్ సారస్య బోధన. సో ద ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక ఇస్ ఇట్స్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ వెన్ వి chant shloka sometimes like in between we can like one word like word continues into the next line, so it will be like veda shastra sa when we sing and then rasya bodhana. So veda shastra sarasya bodhana, or another like alternative word is sangraha. So sangraha means summary, so bodhana means illumination. Both are kind of meaningful here. So veda shastra sarasya bodhana, so veda shastras సారం, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ ద సమ్మరీ దట్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ పుట్ టుగెదర్. సంగ్రహ మీన్స్ గెటింగ్ టుగెదర్ ఇస్ ద మీనింగ్ హియర్. సో పుట్టింగ్ టుగెదర్ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ హియర్. ఆర్ వేదశాస్త్ర సారం లైక్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వేదశాస్త్ర సేస్ దట్ సారం ద యోగ శాస్త్రం సారీ ద యూ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ ద ఎస్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ దాట్స్ బోధన ఆర్ ఇల్యూమినేషన్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ హియర్ బట్ ఇట్ కెన్ ఓన్లీ హ్యాపెన్ త్రూ ఈశ్వరస్ గ్రేస్. సో కుర్వతే, కుర్వతే మీన్స్ డూయింగ్. So doing, it's not, there is no aham, there should be ideally an I, but it's like a third person, it is said, kurvate kripa vikshanatu hi. So kripa vikshanatu, so kurvate to kripa vikshanatu, anything that can happen only due to Ishvara's grace. So kripa vikshanam, the grace of Ishvara is there, and as a result of that, only due to that, so definitely due to Ishvara's grace only, here it is being written. So yoga shastra has been explained, like yoga shastra summary has been explained here or put together or it's illumined here. So that is subject matter of yoga shastra sara, and it is done through grace of Ishvara. So then the main topic is obviously the mind. So manasam tu choram, chora in Sanskrit means thief. So the mind is like a thief. So a thief can never be caught. So thief, catching a thief is like kind of almost impossible. So manasam tu choram. So it is like a thief. Mind is a thief. So mind is definitely a thief. And kadapi na jayate. Kadapi means like never. Na jayate. It doesn't happen. What doesn't get created? Tad bandhanam. It's bandhanam. So it's catching thieves, like if they are thieves, there have been thieves in history itself who have been kind of too smart, that catching them is almost impossible. So never, kadapi na jayate, so never it is possible to catch this thief. So never it is possible here just means that how much tough it is. So we don't have to take literally, but it means like very tough. So tasyaham nigraham manye vayo riva sudushkara. Krishna says, Arjuna says, when Krishna says, okay, try to control your mind. So Arjuna says, okay, like you say like all this, but tasyaham nigraham manye. The nigraha or control of this mind, vayo riva sudushkara. It is like air. Air is going here and there. We can't catch it. Catching air is almost impossible. So that way it is. Sudushkaram. Sudushkaram means tough. Sudushkaram means like very, very tough. So it is very tough. It's almost impossible. So the mind is like a thief. And kadapi na jayate bandhanam sukham. So the word of sukham means like easy. So it's not very easy. So never easily we can never take the meaning as either in two ways. Either easily we cannot control, like easily control of the mind is never possible, or control of the mind is not possible and it is not easily possible. So that means lot of effort has to be put. Lot of effort has to be put to control this mind. So yoga shastra is based on the mind. So the mind is the basis of yoga shastra. So the mind, controlling the mind, like everything is the mind. So this is where Vedanta comes like very close, and Vedanta is very related to yoga, because Vedanta also says everything is in the mind. So everything is the mind. So manishyana karanam bandham mokshayo. Mind is the cause of all problems. Mind is the cause of problem, because Amma says the external world, like we say like problems are there in office, problems are there elsewhere, but Amma says like external world, what is the world? The world is Ishvara alone. So Ishvara's creation is blissful. So if Ishvara's creation is blissful, then what is? Then we should be experiencing bliss. If we don't, then what is the problem? Because in our mind, so in our mind we create a different world. So the, everybody sees, like when we are like walking, like let's say like 20 people are in a classroom and somebody comes in. So everybody sees that one person, the new teacher. Everybody sees that one person. But everybody will be seeing differently. Everybody has a different impression of the person. They create a different impression of the person. As a result, they get affected. Some think, oh, he doesn't look like that alone. Some say like, oh, he looks like a, look at his dress, like it is so shabby. Shabbily dressed. So people, like, based on these opinions, they get affected. The person is exactly the same, he doesn't change. So the world, so that's why Ramana Maharshi used to say that, the world doesn't come to us and say, I exist. We say the world exists, the duality exists, and then we get affected by it. So it's in the mind. So changes are in the mind, not in the external world. So that's why people, why do people leave ashrams? Why do people like leave ashrams? Why do people take sannyasa and then go back? So the reason is because we can, like Ma's words is that like, we can't change, like we shouldn't change the external situation. So paritasthiti yalla maate under the manasthiti. So it is the mental state that has to change, not the external. Because external everything is fine. External everything is fine. So how do we know external everything is fine? Shouldn't we plant trees? Shouldn't we like do green revolution and all of those? It's all of no use. Because why? We just move away. Let's say like we move away from the world for a few weeks, like go into samadhi or yoga nidra. Then what will happen? Well, will the world exist or not? It will still exist. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything at all. So the world, like it will remain fine. Like the problem is, like we have a different impression of the world in our mind, and that's the cause of problem. So the mind, everything is in the mind. Everything is in the mind or mental perspective or thought. So that is why the mind has to be controlled first. The mind currently runs like wherever it wants. So wherever it wants, it runs there, and whatever it wants, it thinks. So it can run wherever it wants, but like the problem is like you can't get whatever like it runs behind. So not always you will get what you want, and then problems like sorrow will come. Either a person will get sad, become sad, or become angry or agitated. So I didn't get this, okay, so become angry, affected. So that is how the mind will be. So the mind has to first be controlled. Mind has to be controlled either for Vedanta. Like Vedanta also mind has to be controlled because the mind is running here and there. So what can like a person learn about Vedanta? And somebody says, oh, you are, think about Brahman. What are they saying? Like I can't even think what I want. My mind is running here and there. So what can I think? You are saying as if my mind is under control and I think. So that is why Dhyana Sadhana helps in controlling the mind. So the next shloka says that Vritti Rupataha. What is this mind? What is its like nature? The mind is of the nature of vrittis. So vritti means thoughts. So thoughts are the basis of the mind. So the mind is of the nature of thoughts. So even as in a classroom, like when 20 people or 50 people are there, so every like, classroom is made up of people. So they are made up of people, but then like how these 50 people cannot coexist? Because everybody will be running here and there will be no control. Then like how is control created? So a teacher comes into the room and teacher says, okay, like on, we will do an election, and then like a person becomes a class lead or class head. I don't know, head class or whatever they call it these days. So a person becomes the head. So that person controls everything. So if that person is there, everybody sits silent. Everybody sits quiet, sits calm. So the mind can have so many thoughts. But in that thoughts, in order to control thoughts, there should be one primary thought or one main thought. And that one main thought is what controls other thoughts or like puts other thoughts into the background. So that one thought for some people, like for business people, it's money. For others, like everybody has their own desires or ultimate desires. And based on that, that one thought becomes. That one thought is money, fame, name, like family, children. So it becomes, differs from person to person. Some people it is just work. So it differs from person to person, but that one thought is that which has been strengthened. So for Vedanta, that one thought has to be the thought of Brahman. that Brahman alone exists, because that alone is true, that has to be the thought, then all other thoughts will be in the background. Say a new student comes into the classroom, he'll meet the like the head class says, okay, good, good, go and sit down. He will sit down calmly. The class is over, everybody has to go out, like people will not sit talking in the room. The head class will say, please come, let's go out. And everybody will go out. But enough, so that one thought has to be the thought of Brahman. So in like Yoga Shastra, like we just removing all the thoughts is the goal. So then like if all thoughts are removed, then what remains behind is the thinker or the Atman. That is how Yoga Shastra says. For Vedanta, it doesn't matter whether thoughts are there or not. Whether thoughts are there or not, it doesn't matter. That one main thought is there, then the thinker or we won't be affected. The mind's peace, the peace of the classroom. Oh, we have to control the classroom. So the simplest way is what? Let no children be there in the classroom. So that is foolish. That's funny. That's kind of foolish. Though Patanjali means like in a different way, but still it's kind of foolish. So Patanjali's words can be interpreted in many ways. So he also says like when so many students are there in the classroom, we don't know whom to get identified. So many thoughts are there in the mind, we don't know whom to get stick onto, whom to not stick onto. So we stick onto somebody and then like the other people will like be pulling. So the mind tries to focus on one, other people pull, so their problems get created. So if there is one main thought, one like main process, we can in a way say, then other things will be calm, other things will be quiet. So that is Vedantic way. Yoga way also we can say that is the way to control the mind. But is it that easy to create, elect a lead class? It's not easy. So 50 people all of a sudden, like it's the first day of the classroom. So we know how the colleges, like the first day of college. So freshers day. So everybody comes, if maybe 50 or 100 people, maybe few know each other. But maybe like here, maybe like many people would know each other. But else, nobody knows any other person. So everybody is in the classroom, everybody is interacting. Like it will be so much hangama. So in order to try to control, like what should be done, what the police do is put people little by little. So first train. So there's a teacher comes into the classroom and says, okay, shut up all of you, silent. They may not listen at all. So first the teacher has to get trained. So in the mind, if we just try to elect a lead thought, that the thought of Brahman is the ultimate, it will not be possible. So first we have to remove thoughts. We have to remove thoughts and then practice sadhana to remove thoughts, and then we can like strengthen one thought, and then like if one thought is strengthened, then whenever thoughts come and go, we can control it. We can control who comes and who goes in. So it is like a hotel where like everything, the door is open and anybody can come. So the seat is there or not, it doesn't matter, anybody can come. So if that is the case, people will come, like there will be so much hangama. We cannot say like one person controls, the hotel manager controls everything. So what the hotel manager does, he puts a security outside and he says, okay, I'll tell you like if there are enough vacancies here. So you see, if it is there, like that, let people in, else don't let people in. So the mind also needs something of that sort. But if that has to happen, the mind has to go through sadhana. It has to first of all, it is like a thief, it runs. So you have to first control it, and the control is through reducing the number of thoughts. So the thief, a thief, like as Ramana Maharshi beautifully used to say, a thief always escapes because he merges in with a huge set of people. So thieves, like the easiest way to escape from police is, there is a procession, yeah. And that happens quite frequently in Kerala. So wherever jatha is there, get in between and then put your hand and then everything is fine. So that what the mind does is that so many thoughts will be there, so it is tough to control. It is almost tough to control. There will be so many thoughts, so this thief of mind cannot be controlled easily. So we have to first get rid of thoughts and practice like thoughtless state, whether that is dhyana, or like at least have one thought. Try to gain control of the mind, like what goes in, what goes out, control it. Once that is controlled, then we can say this one thing is, one thought is the main thought. So, and this controlling of the mind is kind of essential. Like And the next shloka will come as to how to do that. So rather than dhyana, dhyana is also is there. So some people sit for dhyana, there is no purpose. And not some people, majority of people, they sit for dhyana, like things coming, like things will still come in. So we can't maintain just one thought of thoughtless. So why? Because something is missing. So that something also has to be added, then the mind will become calm. And if the mind doesn't become calm or under control, the mind is not under control, then what will happen is, we Vedanta or anything, we will know that only Brahman exists here, but like we can't hold on to that thought. So vritti rupatah, vrittis come and go in this mind, and klesha karakah, so this mind, mind is the cause of klesha. Klesha means suffering. So a lot of suffering we go through because of the mind. It's wrong to blame the mind, but the mind, what we are talking about is the mind which is a thief, the mind which is of the nature of vritti, so many vrittis, that means there is no harmony. There is no harmony in the mind. Thoughts come and go, everything like is like a chanda, it's like a market. So if it is like that, it is klesha karaka, it causes sorrow. And dhyana bandita is controlled through the dhyana, controlled by dhyana. When we do dhyana, ekachintanam, dhyana means ekachintanam, one thought. Remove all other thoughts, reduce, and have just one thought. Then that through dhyana, the mind comes under control. And chetya varita. So this dhyana means what? Chetya varita. So we have to get rid of chetya means thoughts. So thoughts have to be reduced or got rid of. In order to have one thought first, we have to remove everything and then bring one thought. So like when there is 50 people inside a room, like we cannot have like one control point. We have to first remove everybody and then bring in one control point. So that is why dhyana tries to focus on like our breathe. So or something like which distracts. So when we get distracted and on something, then what happens is thoughts get reduced. So that's why the best way is observe your breath and then observe your mind. So the thoughts get reduced. So thoughts get reduced. The mind is a thief. Remember, she used to say thief. When we try to observe the thief, when we look at like if thieves are there in a bus, and we look at the person like in a as if like doubting him, the thief will immediately run away because they are scared if people observe. So when we observe the mind becomes calm, the thoughts gets reduced gradually. After some time there will be thoughtless. Then we can concentrate on deity's form if we want, or the puja and all. Else like if we sit, close our eyes and see Devi's form, what will happen? Devi's form is there, on the side like we are eating food. On the side like something else is happening. So that is how it will be. So, chetya varitaha. So here klesha karaka also like these words are kind of interestingly pulled from Patanjali's. So Patanjali says there are five types of kleshas. So ragadvesha. So ragadvesha is a klesha, then abhinivesha is there. Fear of death. So there are five types of klesha, he says. But we can just say that the thoughts of the mind, are always klesha. So thoughts of the mind are always klesha, problem creator. They'll create problems. If there is that not one thought of Brahman, so when that one thought of Brahman should be there, it should be the thought about Advaitam. If there is thought about Advaitam, so can't that one thought be Amma? It can be one, but it has to be Amma as Brahman. That means not Amma at this form, Amma as standing for Brahman. If that Advaitam is not there, then again, klesha, it will only lead to klesha. So, the next is how to control the mind. Okay, like easily we can say the chora, this thief of mind. But how to control this mind? So, dhyana bandita. But just because I am sitting for dhyana, nothing works out. Nothing is working out. So, how to do that? So, Raga Varjita Raga Samyuta Isha Vishwayo Yoga Karaka Tatpunapuna Chintanam Tuyat Marga Sadaka Abhyasa Chanyaka Abhyasa Sanyaka. So here Patanjali says two things are there to control the mind. So those two have to be followed. So Krishna also uses the exact same. Abhyasa vairagyam iti skala. Abhyasena tu kaunte vairagyena chakritiyate. The mind can be controlled through the dual things of abhyasam and vairagyam. Abhyasa vairagya abhyam sannivritti. Through abhyasa and vairagya, we can control the mind. So that is being explained here. So first is vairagya and then abhyasa. So the reason Patanjali says so. Abhyasa first and then vairagya. So in brief, abhyasa means practice. Repeatedly doing again and again. So repetition, practice makes man perfect. So anything like whether it is making a dosha, whether needing using a thread to create a cloth, or like many other things, it doesn't matter what it is, making bricks, so making cement, it doesn't matter anything. Anything with practice, a person becomes perfect. But practice also should be there with dispassion or vairagya. Without vairagya, vairagya in a way sets our the purpose, so that we know the purpose. So practice can be fine, but for what? So practice, like we go to school, we go to school, college, sorry, we go to college, and then like we go filing. Even I have done like filing, like so many things like we do in mechanical, we do a lot of and like we do a lot of things there, a lot of practices, and we do regularly for what? To clear the exam, and after that, okay. So there should be a purpose. That purpose, what is the purpose of this practice? That is set by vairagya. So vairagya is more important than abhyasa, because if there is purpose and we don't practice, so there is a purpose, I want moksha, so I will do jnana regularly. So even if we don't do, that purpose is there, so someday when that purpose is strengthened, we will do practice. But if we do practice, I will do practice of jnana. One day we will do, 2 days we will do, one day it breaks and then the next day it won't happen. Because there is no purpose. So the purpose should be there. So vairagya is being explained first. So it's kind of, grammatically I don't know if it is correct, but the way is kind of like, it's kind of beautifully put. So raga varjita, raga samyuta. So it is kind of a confusing, Rajesh will understand, it's kind of a confusing word. So raga means attachment. So raga varjita, varjita. So raga varjita, like there should not be any raga. And at the same time, raga samyuta means raga also should be there. So that is Ishwa Vishwayohu. So towards Ishwara and Vishwa. So raga varjita, towards like we Vishwa. So Vishwa, with the world we should not have any raga. So that is the lower pipe of vairagya, it is called. So vairagyam. So Patanjali also says the exact vairagya. So then, whatever is there in the world, as the world, we should have vairagyam towards the world, and we should have ragam towards Ishvara. So ragam towards Ishvara, and like viragam or no ragam towards the jagat or Vishwam, and that is yoga karakaha. Yoga karakaha means it causes yoga. It causes yoga, it is a direct cause of yoga. In Vedanta also, sadhana chatushtayam is there. Sadhana chatushtayam, and that vairagya is very important. So if we know the world to be, like if we have dispassionate towards the world means the world has non-duality, and then we have focus, passion towards Brahman, towards Ishvara, then automatically Vedanta becomes there. Vedanta is there and we will attain moksha. So that is how Sureshwara Charya himself says in Brahmavik Upanishad Bhashyam, the Bhashya Vartika. So vairagya is there, then everything is fine. So that vairagya is not there, that is the problem. So in yoga also, vairagya, we should have towards the Ishvara is there, Vishwa is there. So why this Ishvara and Vishwa? So Ishvara is also there, like it's a purusha vishesha Ishvara. So klesha karma vipaka shayo, purusha vishesha Ishvara. So Ishvara, who is like Ishvara is one who is not affected by anything. Ever affected, that is a purusha vishesha, a special type of purusha, that is how Patanjali says it. And I won't go into details because it can be confusing. But why this Ishvara and Vishwa, like all of a sudden in yoga? So in yoga means we have to control the mind. So control the mind means, mind means stick on to one thought. So why should that one thought be of Ishvara or Brahman? It has to be of Ishvara or Brahman because other thoughts will vanish. So let's say like I will focus, have the thought of Amma. Amma as Amma. Then it will vanish. So how it will vanish? because I'm not a language. Existence will go, like objects will change. So we stick on to objects which are temporary. The thought of objects also has to vanish because the objects will vanish. Oh, even after objects vanish, I can think about it. So we can go and ask people if they think about it. So people can think about Ramana Maharshi now only because they see Ramana Maharshi as like beyond birth and death, not as the form. If they see as the form, it will vanish. So after some time, like if we, oh, like if we think about our, like our friend, if we think about our friend, our father, our mother, our partner, it will be there for some period of time. And after that, what will happen? If they, like, if they are not there for 1 day, 2 day, 1 year, that's why people like try. So partners, like young widows or widowers, young widowers, they will cry for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then happily marry again. So the thought has to be that of Ishvara, because Ishvara alone is permanent. That which is permanent and ever there, that thought has to be the one thought. So that means we should develop raga towards Ishvara, and we should get rid of the raga towards Jagat. So already, so raga is like, interestingly, raga can be only had with one person. So it is like one-to-one relationship. So raga can only be had with one. So we are already, we have raga towards the world. So that raga has to reduce, and raga towards Ishvara has to grow. So when that happens, yogam will happen easily. So yoga will happen when we know, like, how can we get rid of the raga from the world? So by knowing that the world is, let it explain later also, but we can reduce the raga or attachment from the world by knowing the world to be anityam, asuram, lokam. This world is sorrowful, it won't give happiness or that which I am seeking, therefore I will not have raga. And Ishvara is blissful. Ishvara is eternal and blissful. Therefore, thinking about that, we will be able to maintain raga towards Ishvara, and that becomes yoga karaka. Okay, I am trying this. So I am trying a lot. So I am trying a lot. Like I am trying and trying and trying. But like somehow this, like I try to reduce the raga, it doesn't work. It's not working. Still raga is there towards the world, and raga towards Ishvara, and the result is now coming. So what can I do? So tat puna punaha chintanam tu yat. So yat chintanam punaha punaha. Tat punaha punaha yat chintanam, this thought which is maintained again and again, punaha punaha. Again and again this thought means chintanam, means isha chintanam. So Ishvara, thought about Ishvara as distinct from the world. So that means remove thoughts of the world, focus on Ishvara, maintain focus on Ishvara, that punaha punaha, again and again, marga sadhaka abhyasa sanyaka. It is marga sadhaka. So it is not yoga karaka, it doesn't cause yoga, but it is helps in the marga. In the marga, like when we progress towards yoga, abhyasam, it's called abhyasam, again and again the same thought is maintained. It is abhyasam, and it will help marga sadhaka. It will help in the marga. In the marga, it will help continuously. So these are the two things that Patanjali says in order to control the mind. Everything is to control the mind. So controlling the mind, like it's kind of, some people think it's kind of very easy, it's very simple. After doing dhyana for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, the mind comes under control. It will never come under control. So that is where Patanjali's system also is being misunderstood. So people think controlling of the mind can happen just by doing sadhana. So like, why should I learn all this? So shouldn't I just be doing dhyana now? Okay, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, if I had done dhyana, at least like some control, some punya I would have got. If no control also, Amma says it's a fixed deposit. So somewhere it would have been useful. So why this jnana? So Patanjali says without this vairagya and abhyasa vairagya, whatever sadhana we do, it will be futile. So the nivritti, like the controlling of the mind, is possible only through abhyasa vairagya abhyam tat nivritti. The mind can be controlled only through abhyasa and vairagya. No other means. And this abhyasa and vairagya, abhyasa, okay, practice. Whatever we do is just abhyasa. But without vairagya, there is no purpose. We won't know for what. So where do we stop? Oh, I go and do dhyana daily. So how do you know you have control of the mind? How do you know? After some days, I think like I'm able to sit for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hour. So how do I know like when to stop? How do I know like whether it is fine? Like, okay, now I have attained dhyana, I have controlled the mind. So the only way you can know is vairagya. If vairagya is there, the mind is under control. When vairagya is complete, there is total control. Vairagya is complete means Ishvara, thought about Ishvara, ragam towards Ishvara is there continuously. Ragam towards raga, the beauty of raga or attachment. Attachment is like very, it's kind of a like beautiful concept. Not like it's not a concept, it is just a mental emotion. It's kind of beautiful in that the more and more attachment we have, the more and more that becomes strengthened in our mind. So that thought is there. So that means the more and more we are attached to Brahman, the Brahma Chintanam will automatically be there in our mind. We don't have to control. We don't have to do anything. And the more and more like we don't have raga towards something, we want to remember. Oh, you forgot me. Did you forget me? So people, when we walk in the road, like ashram, it's quite common, right? Oh, what happened? You said you will call and you didn't call. So many days you didn't come and see me. What happened? So why you didn't come and see me? Because there is no raga. Sorry, Chichi, no raga. But no, no raga. If you want, like give me some ragi, I will drink it and maybe raga will be developed. So raga, as it gets reduced, it becomes, so that is where care has to be made, that Ishvara, towards Ishvara, raga has to be there. Towards Brahman, raga has to be there. So temporarily, even the form of Mahatma, Trikamma, we have to have raga. If we don't have raga, then we are nowhere. So if we don't have even raga towards the form of Amma, then it's a problem. The form has to be thought about as Brahman, else no point, no purpose. But just saying, okay, I don't want Amma and all Brahman is enough, means again problem. So people, like there are people, relatives are there, like who used to come to Amma since long. And then afterwards they'll say, oh, Amma didn't call me. How can I come? Amma didn't call me. So if something doesn't work out, Amma didn't call me. If something doesn't work out, it's Amma's will. It's Amma's will. It's okay. She'll take care. So Nacho says that it's kind of stupidity. Such statements are like false statements. So Narada Gita Antapuri also says the exact same thing. It is kind of false statement. We should never make such statements. If Amma's will, everything is Amma's will. Positive, negative, everything is Amma's will. What is important is whether we have the raga. If we don't have raga, then there is the thought won't come in our mind. So in order to think of Amma as Brahman, we have to first think about Amma. So if we think about Amma, along with that little bit knowledge comes, then we will think about Amma as Brahman. Without ragam, we are nowhere. The thinking cannot happen. Then abhyasa will be of no use. So learning the shastras, like, tells us that, okay, this is what is required. You need vairagya, you need raga. Oh, I am not able to gain raga towards Amma. I am not able to, like, be attached towards Amma. Can you say why? I'm not able to think about Amma as Brahman. Why? Can you tell me why? So then why? Because you think the form is real. Because you are attached to the form. What is the form? Form is the world. You are attached to the world, so attachment to Amma cannot happen. And even if that attachment to Amma as a form happens, it is attachment to the world. So literally it is attachment to the world. Unless there will be situations where a Sadguru like Amma will show us way that, okay, don't get attached to the form. Get attached to the truth or Brahman. So Amma herself, like Krishna says that, like whoever bhaktas are there who focus on form, I'll be their savior. So that means he will not come and like pull you up. He will just show ways. So maybe Amma will directly say, okay, don't focus on this form. Or like through others Amma will say. So then like we have to understand, if we don't still do it, then what will happen? This attachment to the world again, downfall. We will not be able to maintain one thought. Then what will happen? Instead of being a yoga karaka, it becomes klesha karaka. It becomes klesha. Suffering. We will get suffering as a result of like seeing Amma as a form. Oh, Amma's form. Amma didn't look at me. Amma didn't smile at me. Amma didn't talk to me. Amma didn't do this. Amma didn't do that. Amma, like everything is Amma's doing. If you want to understand. So, Shastra, Jnanam, just abhyasa, mere Guru Samipam is not enough, or Guru Samikshan or Samiksha is not enough. Being near the Guru is not enough. We have to have knowledge. Remember that Guru is Brahman. Guru is Brahman. For that, some Shastra Jnanam, Vedanta Jnanam is essential. Without Vedanta Jnanam, we won't know that. Oh, okay, why, what, where, what am I missing? Am I like, I'm not able to focus on Amma, why? Then maybe I have like more attachment to the world. Or maybe I don't remember Amma as Brahman. Okay, I remember Amma as Brahman. I don't have attachment to the world, but still I'm not able to focus, remember. Then what? Abhyasana, practice. Practice again and again. And after I do practice also, still nothing works. Then did you as a prerequisite, did you do dhyana? Did you do dhyana as a prerequisite? No, I did. Oh, like the food that I eat, like, tastes awful. I don't know what is the problem. What is the problem? Prerequisite of brushing your teeth was not done. Then what will happen? It will taste bad. So, prerequisite of dhyana. Do dhyana first. Dhyana means dhyana sadhana. Like, not after gaining knowledge, but before that, try to control the mind first. So, control the mind first through dhyana sadhana, which can be anything. Like a form worship. So, yatha abhimata dhyana arva. Patanjali says dhyana, yatha abhimata dhyana, yatha abhimata. Whatever is comfortable, whatever is acceptable. Whatever is acceptable, oh, I will worship Jesus. Fine, no problem. Contemplate on that. So, the mind has to be controlled and then you can take, pull the mind away from the world, focus on Brahman and then repeatedly focus. Then everything will be fine. So, this repeated focus, the only difference is about this, after this repeated focus, it need not be in the form of dhyana, it can be in the form of nididhyasana or anusandhana. That's one difference. And the other difference is, you Vedanta, after this much, like Vedanta is in a way synced with yoga. After this, Vedanta says everything is abhedam or advaitam. So then, once we are focused on advaitam to an extent, other things can come and can go, it doesn't matter. So, but yoga says, once you attain that state, then you should never again get into the world. You should never get attached to the world again. Or in a way, you will never get attached. That's a kind of a tough statement. So if you say, like, you will never get attached into the world, so there is no fault in our system, then the problem is, then what does that person do? Does the person live? Does the person do activities? If he does activities, he has to get affected. If he is not getting affected, oh, like I do yoga sadhana and I realize and I become somebody else and the person is still there. That's a difference. So we can't answer. So such contradiction or such objections has to be raised. So therefore Vedanta says that once you have focus on that Brahman, the thought of Brahman, that Sarvam Brahmamayam, that Advaita Brahman, then thoughts can come and go, the mind will not be a problem at all. So we will see later. So may Amma bless us so that like we'll be able to, through yoga, this yoga sutras are kind of like very beautiful because it comes like very close to Advaita Vedanta. We can relate it very easily. And then the sadhana part, Abhyasa, Vairagyam, Dhyana, the sadhana and all are like being put forth like step by step very beautifully. And they are kind of in a way, not just that, like siddhis, like a new, the progress that you make in the path also, like we can see in Vedanta. So though Vedantins in, through Vedanta Granthas, like we will not understand that is possible. With this kind of cryptic, it's not directly mentioned, but Patanjali clearly says, so through that we can attain the goal of moksha easily. So may Amma bless us for that. See.